Good morning, guys, and welcome in here to Wager Talk TV. This is Puck Time. We have one game to break down. We have the Florida Panthers and Carolina Hurricanes. And yes, very hard to believe Florida was a wild card team. In fact, Pittsburgh had to beat Chicago or Anaheim just to make the playoffs, and Florida would not. But here, the Panthers are one game away from punching their ticket to the Stanley Cup Finals. It's going to be unbelievable. If an 8 seed like them make it to the finals, it's a great thing about the game we love and follow, but also one thing that's difficult for betting in the playoffs, as we all know. Hard to understand some of these big underdogs we're seeing cash night in, night out. Florida's gone through Boston, Toronto. Now they are just easily going through the number one team in the Metropolitan Division. But Carm, we have to discuss last night. I'll tell you what, I'll start with myself. We both believe in full transparency on this show. I released Dallas first period, and I released Vegas team total under. So I started watching the NBA and my NBA play for clients about 6 minutes into the hockey game. It didn't take me long to change the channel. I found something on, actually, Morenci told me about this, that the last time that in a playoff game, three goals were scored that quickly, 1989. That's the last time that three goals were scored in that quick of a time span to open up a game. Jamie Benn with a bonehead mistake. I mean, it's one thing to get one cross check in, but to do it again when the guy's in the ground and he wears the C on his chest. I don't know, Carm, but I saw you tweeting, man. Is it true that you just turned it off?
Yeah, listen, I'm going to be honest with you. I stopped watching the game after 10 minutes. There was nothing left to watch. I know when a bet's going to win, or at least I feel I know when a bet's going to win or one is going to lose. And, you know, they allow an early goal. Fine, you can recover from an early goal. It's going to, you know, in a series where there aren't a lot of goals, it's going to be tough to recover from an early goal, but you can do it. But then he takes that penalty, and it's a dumb penalty for two reasons. Number one, you've already knocked the guy to the ground, so any ref in that vicinity is looking straight at what is going on. And then you lean down and you cross-check him in, like, I think it was like the small of the back, and that's always going to be a major. It's always going to be a major. So it's like he had a brain fart. I don't know what he did, but I said to myself, if they get one power play goal, I'm not even watching it. And they get a power, you can essentially call them two goals power play goals. They got one in the power play and one shortly after the power play where a team never gets a chance to reset. And the game was over. I wasn't going to watch it. There's no way Dallas is coming back from 3-0. At that point, Vegas doesn't have to play an open game. They can close it down, forecheck you into the ground, and that game is going to end with Vegas winning 90% of the time. It's going to happen unless they completely fold. So, you know what I mean? I hate to lose those ones, obviously, and I apologize. And I sent our office 10 minutes into the game. I sent our office a memo. I'm like, this game has gone south. This is horrible. I can't believe it. It's a terrible penalty. I need to take care of the people that that purchased my hockey package. And give them something, which we did. So I tweeted out to log into your accounts or something in there, or at least log into the play. And there was like a promo code in there. But my God, it was such a stupid play. But they were dumb. And then you look at Max Domi does the same thing at the game. And listen, I've met his dad numerous times. Ty Domi, he's done charitable events for me. Anytime I call him, the guy comes to a charitable event and he brings stuff with him. He'll bring autographed shirts and pucks and he comes out. I've done stuff for Blue Review Children's Hospital up here in Toronto and the guy golf tournaments and he always comes out. All I got to do is call him, send him a text message. He comes out. So I'm not going to talk bad about his kid, but it's a 14 minutes in penalties. It's a bad penalty thing to take. And he gets a game misconduct. This team literally tilted. They completely tilted. They were triggered early on, and you had no chance. So if you had money on Dallas, I'm sorry. We all went down with that one. The Vegas Golden Knights are one game away from going to the Stanley Cup Finals. We'll see what pushback, if any, Dallas has tomorrow. But my God, this is the first time, Andrew, in the playoffs this year where I turned the game off early. 10 minutes. Right. I just went to watching something else. I was going to watch the Jays. I switched it over to the Jays, and they're up like 20 runs. They've scored 20. I can't even watch a blowout. You guys might enjoy it if you have money on it, but I can't watch blowouts. Maybe there is something what's chemically wrong with me, Andrew, that I need to watch close games and nail biters, especially when I have money on them. It says there's just more joy to it, even though sometimes you end up losing those nail biters. But my God, it's probably the worst. Well, it's definitely the worst game of the series, but the life was sucked out of that arena literally 7 minutes into the game, and there was no turning back. So I know other people at Wager Talk were on, I think, the same play. It's going to happen, guys. It's the ebbs and flows, but we always want to be transparent about it, because I very rarely talk of win streaks, Andrew. It's you that bring them up, but I talk about the losing streaks. That's the better part of the transparency, is not talking about when you're winning, but discussing when you're losing, because we're all human in that sense. So, you know, with that said, let's see what happens tonight in Florida, but we could see our first series or our first team into the cup tonight confirmed. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll get into, you know, the more of the Dallas and Vegas stuff moving forward. But I wanted to say, for anybody curious about those expected goal numbers, 2.35 for Dallas, Carm, 0.81 for Vegas, and they scored 4 goals. So I had people coming after me all night on Twitter yesterday, because I was going pretty hard on Jamie Benn on Twitter. I'm not going to lie. I was, you know, pretty much saying that he cost them the game. But Jake Ottinger hasn't been his best. But the way I look at it is this. When you're at home, the first 5 minutes isn't about scoring goals. It's about building momentum and getting your fans into the game. So I don't care how poorly Jake Ottinger played, your captain cannot give up a five-minute major in the first few minutes of the game. There's no excuses, nothing. And then he declined to speak to the media. So I don't know. And also, Aiden Hill's been playing really well. And one other goalie is playing really well right now. He's won several straight games in a row. Sergei Bobrovsky, the performance we are seeing from him during his playoffs for the Florida Panthers, it's unbelievable. I mean, this is a team that has won one game in this series by scoring 3 goals, one game by scoring 2 goals, and one game by scoring just 1 goal, Carm, and that was the previous game here. Let's bring it up. Let's start talking about it here. We've got, of course, the Hurricanes and the Panthers. Panthers minus 115, Hurricanes minus 105, total at 5.5, plus 105 to the over, minus 125 to the under. And, you know, Carm, the thing is that Carolina is going to have to change their style a bit, but I'm not sure they want to, because realistically, I've been saying this all series. I said it to you on our last show together, talking about these two teams. It seems to me that Florida, and you talked about Paul Maurice, I think you talked about him yesterday, how they're buying into him and they're buying into how he plays and how he wants them to play. They're pretty much playing the Carolina Hurricanes style of hockey, but just better and executing. If you only need 1 or 2 goals to win a hockey game, you're a very, very dangerous team, which leads me to ask you, I mean, what would we have to really be thinking to take the over in this game? Like, part of me thinks, well, we're going to see a breakout. We're going to see a breakout, but I don't really have much data to back that up. It's just my gut telling me we should see it, but why would I take that with how these goaltenders are playing?
You don't. And Andrew, on yesterday's show, I talked about on yesterday's show, you know, in talking with, you know, people who are involved with the NHL and people who are involved in sports betting and a lot of people I respect, they were talking about how they liked the over in yesterday's game. They thought there was going to be goals. And I said, I just can't do it. I can't do it in this series. I think I took him in game one, and I'm like, I'm not going to take an over in this series. And 7 minutes in, if you bet the over, you were loving it. You're thinking, this is great. But I think if it was 7 minutes in, if the score was 2-1, you could possibly like the over. At 3-0, you get to that point where a team no longer has to score, and the Vegas Golden Knights didn't have to score at that point. But if you get 3 goals in 7 minutes and you have over 5.5, you have to be feeling good at the very least about the fact that you've got 3 goals. You need 3 more the rest of the game. I don't know how you could take the over in this game. And what we see tonight It's an elimination game. And Andrew, you've always talked about elimination games, and we saw it happen in the first round, and I saw it happen a lot last year when you mentioned it as well in the playoffs, that sometimes in elimination games, you get some weird stuff that happens in that third period, especially in a game that might be like 3-1 type of game, and it doesn't look like it's going to go over, and then they pull their goalie with 6 minutes left, and he just stays out of the net for 6 minutes, even if they go down 4-1. What do they have to lose? They keep him out of the net, and still it's a 6-on-5, and all of a sudden these empty netters are going in, and you've got the under, and your heart just sinks. I said on yesterday's show that I was going to play the under tonight, and I played the under, so I can't get away from it. You look at Florida scores, and when's the last time they went over? I think the last time they went over was when they beat the Leafs 4-2. But we've got like 1-0, 2-1, 3-2, 3-2, 2-1, 3-2, 3-2, and then there was that 4-2 game. So seven straight unders with this Florida team. A lot of 3-2s. You might want to look at that 3-2 exact score, although the empty net crap comes into it, but it could be 2-2 going to overtime, and you cash that ticket either way. But I can't take the over. And in spite of what happens tonight, the right play has to be the under. And it's priced that way. It's at minus, I think, 125 or so. But there's no reason you can come up with other than some weird stuff might happen in the third period. And can you imagine releasing a play and then putting in the analysis section, guys, I like the 5.5 over because some weird stuff might happen in the third period. This is where you send an email to customer service and say, you might want to have this guy do a drug test in the morning because there is no way that should be part of your analysis ever. It's like the zigzag. With that said, I like the under. I like the under in this game. I'm going to look at, they're not released yet, and maybe by the time, in 10 minutes or so before we're done this show, there'll be some save props on, but the Bobrovsky save props, why wouldn't you take it again tonight? Because you figure Carolina facing desperation. You talked about them, Andrew, having to change what they do or how they approach the game. They've got to get pucks on net. You can't score unless you get pucks on net. You can't score unless you get rebounds and get shots back on net. And the way Bobrovsky's playing right now, he's earning that $10 million. He's making saves. He had 32 last game in the shutout. If the total is, as long as the books don't inflate it, if the total is 30.5 or under, you got to take the Bobrovsky over shot prop again, I would think. Mm-hmm. Just, you don't have to go wild on it. Throw a couple slices of pizza on it.
I agree with you. I mean, well, I think that if even Carolina has remotely a good game, that Bobrovsky goes over his save prop. Like, that's all on Carolina for you know, them to go out there and put lots of shots. And I talked about it yesterday on the show to you about that clip that I saw circulating social media of several of the Carolina players going down the tunnel, smashing their sticks, punching walls, like just stuff that they don't really want fans to see and the media to see, but obviously a camera was able to catch it. They're clearly frustrated, Carmen. They can't find the back of the net. And the crazy part is that they're actually playing good defense. They're playing good defensive hockey. It's the goal scoring that's really their problem. And I'm happy you mentioned it. I talked about it last night. Bobrovsky makes $10.5 million. You can get hot and be an Aiden Hill. You can be a Jordan Binnington from a few years ago. But when it comes down to it, the Vasilevskis, the Carey Price even, and the Bobrovskis that are making that much money, well, they're supposed to be doing this. I'm not saying we shouldn't celebrate what Bobrovsky is doing right now, but for everybody out there that's kind of just like, oh, this was a backup goalie. No. He wasn't a backup goalie. He was a goalie getting paid a lot that they would have traded away for a bag of pucks and some Gatorade. And all of a sudden, he started playing very, very well in the playoffs, earning that $10.5 million. So he's supposed to be doing what he's doing right now, Carm.
Yeah, and listen, I don't understand the frustration of what the players are going through because I've never played. I played hockey, but I've never played obviously professional hockey. I've never played semi pro hockey. I wouldn't even play bar league hockey, but I think in bar league I wouldn't even get that frustrated with it. But the frustration is there. I get it. They've had a good team year in and year out, and they make it deep. They went to have the number one seed. You get home ice, and you just feel like you get to the conference finals. It's the next step. Let's beat these guys. Let's get into the Stanley Cup. You want to be there. As a player, you want to be playing for Lord Stanley, and these guys aren't, and they're frustrated because Florida is frustrating them. They're checking them into the ground. They're giving them nothing. These are guys who are used to being able to instill their will on you, get a goal, get another goal, get up two, and grind you into the ground. And Florida is serving it right to them. They're giving it to them. So I get the frustration. So in that sense, it's the frustration I felt, Andrew, in the 90s as a Buffalo Bills fan going to the Super Bowl. And Scott Norwood go wide right, and then I said, "This is the worst feeling in the world." And then I refused to go to the next three Super Bowls, watch them on TV, and watch the Buffalo Bills lose the next three Super Bowls as well. That's why when you spell Bills, it's spelled with four L's instead of two, Andrew, because there's four Super Bowl losses in there. But I sense the pain as a fan of Carolina. I get it. You guys are frustrated. It takes one win sometimes to maybe get that mojo going. Do I think they're going to come back and win the series? No. But, hey, look, the Boston Celtics got a win last night, and now everyone's talking about Celtics in seven. So who knows? But
it is amazing how things can change like that. It is amazing how things can change like that. One team gets one win in the NBA. It's a double-digit win, and everyone's like, whoa, can they actually make this comeback? But the difference is that in this series, all the games have been really close. And before we jump into the charity challenge picks and the best bets, I want to circle back to that really long overtime game, Karin. What was that, game two or was that game one? I want to circle back to game one. Yeah. I mean, you think back to it and you think that, number one, how fatigued you are after that and how that transitions into other games, and the momentum you get from winning one of those games. It's pretty much the battle of the fittest. Like, I was watching a video of Matthew Tkachuk's speech in the locker room, and you know how they give out, like, the game, you know, the game puck to whoever played the best, right? The players will decide, kind of thing. They gave the game puck to the strength and conditioning coaches on the team. They said, this goes out to you. We are in the best shape in the playoffs, pretty much, because they outlasted them, right? And if you think about it, how different is this series if Carolina wins in overtime there? Then you look at game two and how tight that game was. There hasn't been one game in this series that's been a blowout by any means at all. But it also tipped my hat to Florida for winning all these close games, because there's so many different ways to look at it. But the way that series was able to start, and kind of the way it is right now, I actually wouldn't be surprised. I kind of have gentleman sweep written on this series, but it wouldn't shock me if Carolina rattled off two wins. It really wouldn't, because it's not like Florida has dominated them, you know, three straight games. They have just found a way to win. So, Carm, any thoughts on that? And then we'll get your charity challenge pick.
Yeah, and you talked about it. Against the Boston Bruins, they had to find a different way of winning games, and they did. You know, they're beating them 4-3. They beat them 7-5, and then they beat them 4-3. I think those are the last three games to close out that series and the start of their win streak. You know, they won 10 of their last 11 games. The game they lost was 2-1, so they weren't blown out in the game they lost. They just they lost a 2-1 game to the Leafs, after winning six straight, and they've won four straight since. They're playing the same game day in and a game in and game out. This Florida team, and they're now one win from the Stanley Cup, five wins from bringing the cup back to the state of Florida. You know, it visited Colorado for a year, but it could be back in Florida. It remains to be seen, but they're just playing extremely well. You know, the thing about that game, and Andrew, we talked about and again, I get takes wrong. I love when I get them right, but I get them wrong. After that 4-OT game, I thought a good play would have been the over in the next game, because you had guys who had put in defensemen, who had put in, you know, almost 60 minutes of play, 58 to 60 minutes of play. from the number one and number two lines on your D-line. And when you're going 11-6 as far as forward to defense, these guys have been on ice for a full game off. They're back under. I thought by the time that second or third period gets there that the burn is going to start to happen. I was wrong. It was another low-scoring game for this series. So we get the takes wrong, but we'll admit it. So that's the thing is, again, I'm not looking to who's going to win tonight's game. Who would I like to win? I'd probably like just to see some more NHL playoff action. I'd like Carolina to win. But my play is the under. That's my play that I have loaded for clients. You've heard it here. So there's no sense in playing it because I'm telling you, I told you yesterday I was going to take the under. We'll see what happens tonight. But Andrew, with regards to the game and how the scoring goes, we don't know. Each game is independent of itself. So, but you can only look at the past history, and the history in the series is it's been unders. The history in the series going even further back has been Florida unders. If Florida plays their game, it's going to be a low scoring game. If Carolina finds a way to turn this into almost like the Boston series where Carolina is scoring, scores over 2.5 goals. They score 3 goals and Florida is going to be forced to somewhat to open it up a bit. So with that said, if it's Florida, it's almost correlated, Florida in the under or Carolina in the over.
100%. I mean, that's really the thing, right? Is that like, I think Carolina, do they have it in them to score 4 or 5 goals, 3, 4 goals against them? I'm not really sure if they do or not. So, I don't know. That's kind of why I was looking at you and saying my gut is telling me let's see some goals tonight. And then your response to me was like, but why would we bet that? Right. That's really the thing that every game has been a 1-goal low scoring game. So I agree with you. It's hard to really argue. It's hard to argue it. But first period under, I'd say if you like the under tonight, I honestly would say the first period is the way to go. How about that? That's kind of what I think overall.
Yeah, no, and listen, Andrew, I get it. I completely get it. It's the thing of a team plays extremely well defensively, gives you almost nothing, keeps all the shots to the outside in your O-zone, and you're clearing those rebounds and not giving them second and third chances. It's hard to beat a team like that. Then when you factor in that the goalie between the pipes is playing lights out hockey, it makes it even worse. It's and so you've got to go into this game and think, okay, well, two things got to happen. Carolina needs to score goals, and or Bobrovsky needs to have a bad game. And how do you forecast? This isn't like you wake up in the morning, you read your horoscope, and you're like, yeah, I don't really like it. I'm going back to bed. No, Bobrovsky is going to come out. He's going to play his game, and if he's on his game like he has been since coming in for Alex Lyon, they're going to win the game, or it's going to be a low scoring game in which, you know, it ends, you know, 3-2 and heads back to Carolina for game 5. So I've made so many points on why I like the under that you almost went around and go and bet the over. I think Joe Ranieri, if he's watching this, is clicking that over button right now. He's just hitting it over. So
you've got a player prop.
We'll see what happens.
So let's hear your player prop you have for us.
So hold on, let me just pop this stuff on the screen, Andrew, because I've gone off on so many different tangents. So as far as the charity challenge goes, we'll go with that one first. The charity challenge, assuming Carolina are going to get some shots on goal, I'm going to go with Martin Nekas over 2.5 shots on goal, -130. This guy was deadly early on with his shot props. He was 9-2. I think it was, or 9-3 in the playoffs, and then including going over the total in the first game against Florida, but that was obviously a 7-period game, but only 3 shots combined in the last couple of games, 2 in the last game. He's got to get shots on goal, and I like this one. So I think Carolina's going to fire a lot of pucks at net, so I'm going to take over 2.5, -130 for Martin. Over 2.5 shots on goal. Andrew, what do you got for the charity challenge?
I like that one, Carm. He's definitely an important player on that team. And I talked about one player that was smashing his stick around in the tunnel there. Also a pretty big player, a guy that scores a lot of goals close to the net, scores those goals that I think Carolina is really searching for right now, and a guy that actually, even though he's young, is known to score big goals in the playoffs. His name, Jesperi Kotkaniemi. I know him very well because Carolina offer-sheeted Montreal, and they took him away from the Canadiens. You can get him to get a point tonight at plus 130. I know. The fact of the matter is Carolina hasn't scored that many goals this playoffs. I completely understand that. I do not believe they will get shut out tonight, and I believe that we will see Jesperi be involved in on a play tonight, and I'm just searching for the plus money with these, right? I love getting a player point, a player goal, power play, whatever it might be, some of this plus money for something like this. So I'll go with Kotkaniemi to record a point at plus 130. Make sure you guys shop around for that, because as you guys know, and Carm definitely knows, every book, it's different. It's big time different these days in the playoffs. And as much as, Sherpin and Arthur de Caesar will tell us that we're not getting that much heavy action on the NHL, I get it. But we are seeing lots of movement and different prices from book to book on these props, Carm. So any thoughts on that? And we can jump into best bets.
I like the plus money. He got pushed around a little bit in game three. Let's see if he can get anything. But it all sort of coincides, Andrew, with power plays. If you get a power play, you know he's going to be on the power play, and you hope that sometimes that's where they get their points, which is also where my mentality comes in as far as this one goes. And first of all, up at Wager Talk, three NHL plays. I've already mentioned one here, so you already know what one of them is. In the afternoon, a two-pack in EPL soccer and a bonus four MLB plays included with that. So if you pick up that soccer pack before 3 o'clock, you'll get four MLB plays and 6-2 in run with Major League Baseball plays. So let's see if we can keep that little winning streak going. As far as the show best bet, I'm going to go to Brent Burns to get a point, register at least a point minus 120. You know he's going to see a lot of ice time tonight. And if Carolina can at least find the back of the net, he's usually in on that scoring. So Brent Burns over one point, minus 120 as your show best bet. And guys, I absolutely love our chat. All the good and all the bad. I like looking at the comments. You guys always express yourselves. I talk about the Buffalo Bills losing and being at the game when Scott Norwood sent it wide right. And Devendra, who sells beers at the Vegas Golden Knights game, says, I made money on the Giants. So at least from my pain came someone's pleasure. So I enjoy it. I love it.
Yeah, I mean, you love hearing all the chatter and all the different opinions in there. And we got a lot of great cappers in there as well. I love going back and seeing the comments and in the live chat as well. Carm looking to bounce back today, man. I had a 2-1 day yesterday in the MLB, a 1-0 day yesterday in NBA. But the NHL is where I fell short. So looking to bounce back in a big, big way tonight in the NHL. I have lots of props and, of course, some different plays. But my best bet on the show is going to be the team total under for the Florida Panthers. I mentioned already in two or three games that they've won in this series, they've gone under 2.5 goals. You get plus money on this, plus 110, and Carolina have to do what they do best and play defensive hockey. As much as I believe they have to change a little bit of their style going into today's game, they are not going to go too far away from what they know and what got them here. That's playing strong defensive hockey in their own end, protecting their goalie and counterattacking. So in two or three games, the Florida's won in this series. They've gone under 2.5 goals. I believe tonight we'll see Carolina's best defensive performance. I'll take Florida under 2.5 on their team total for my show best bet. Also, guys, I will have some world hockey plays out for tomorrow and available at wagertalk.com. I do have one released already to clients. It's now into the elimination round quarterfinals in that tournament. So if anyone interested in that, you can check it out at Wager Talk. Quick recap here on the picks. Carmine has Martin Nietzsche's over 2.5 shots on goal. Brent Burns to record a point. I have Koken Niemi to record a point and Florida team total under the 2.5. Guys, make sure you find both Carmine and myself over at wagertalk.com. And I will be on Wager Talk today coming up at 12 o'clock Eastern time. Thanks for watching, guys. See you tomorrow.